today. Father, I pray for salvation today. Father God, if there's somebody in this room that's never came and never had an encounter with Jesus, I pray, oh God, today that that would be the focal point of why we're even unlocking the doors today. Father, I bless you. I honor you. And we ask you, God, even right now to continue to bless these in need. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty. I'm going to let Brother Sparks come and do what Brother Sparks does. All righty. Come on.
Well, good morning. Cold morning. At least the thermometer said it was, anyhow. Oh, but it's good to be back in the house of the Lord today, and it's good to be here as well as we are. You know, when we get our age, you get up every morning and you just thank God that you're able to stand on your feet. And put faith and trust in God today that everything is going to go according to His will and His purpose and His plan. Amen. What are we studying about today? What does the word transformation mean to you? Huh? Changed. Changed. That don't mean like taking off dirty clothes and putting clean clothes on and going about your business. That means when you get your clothes off, take a good old soapy shower. Got to go deeper than just the skin. Got to go to the heart. And that's exactly what the scriptures is telling us today. We're teaching from Ephesians again, and Ephesians is broken down. It's six chapters. It was one letter, but six chapters broken down when they wrote the Bible. And the first three of them is due to the practical nature of living. And the other one is to the spiritual nature of living, the last three, which that's the ones that we're involved in today. And that is the last three chapters of the book of Ephesians that's written by Paul. Transformation is a word that does mean changing. And there's a lot of way to change in life. We change as we grow older. And I don't know about you, but I've always heard, and this is, of course, this is old people saying, that your body changes every 7 years. Now, I know mine's changed some. I remember growing up, you couldn't get me to drink a glass of tea. I'd drink me water. I didn't like that stuff. But I love tea now. And there's a lot of other things that I didn't like that I used to. I wouldn't eat. But I do now. But that is a way that the body changes. And we don't realize it changes like that. But it does as we grow older. Most of us think about when we grow older, the only thing that we really pay enough attention to much is the physical change. Everything gets harder for us, seem like, to do. But we know today that we're going to be able to go as long as the Lord intends for us to go. We're going to be here as long as the Lord intends for us to be here. But we know that there will come a time when things will be different. So the lesson that we're getting into today is taken from Ephesians, beginning in the fourth chapter. Oh, yeah. And there's a couple of things here that it brings to mind. I'm going to kind of read over it and let you get a feeling of it first of all here. The term lifestyle was first used in 1946 to signify the typical way of life for the public. That's the terminology that the people used to when they were talking about the people of this country. That was their way of getting it across to people, lifestyle. But it goes on to say here, until 1980 did this term come about in that era of time. New lifestyle. And when I thought about that, I said, be again, new old lifestyle and new lifestyle. And that's what the Bible teaches us, said that when we become a new person in Christ, what happens? All things pass away. There's another word there that's more important than that, though. What is it? A-L-L. All things, not part of them, not some of them, but all things become new. That means from the top of our head to the soles of our feet, our heart, our attitude, our character, our way of life, all of it makes a change. That is, if you get a good old dose of salvation from God and get the Spirit of God in your heart and you let Him begin to live where Satan used to live. But that's the way that it has to go. And that brings about a new lifestyle for us. We don't want to go to the places we used to go. Don't want to do the things we used to do. But whenever we take on the life of Christ, they become a new order of desires, if you would, in our life. We change from a menu of selfish and personal feelings to a biblical and spiritual feeling. And we hunger for the things that are spiritually inspired, not the things that are physically permanent for us. Because those things that are physical will take you places you don't want to go. And it'll cause you to do things you don't want to do. So we are, not only the things that we have used to do change, but the attitude or desire and the will of us has to also change. Take on, we become a new person in Christ. Behold, old things pass away and all things become new. That's not hard to understand. What's the matter with the world today that they don't understand that? Well, we know today that we're living in a time that God is more hated than He is loved. If you notice, if you're watching TV and you notice TV, whenever most of the people now that at these big sporting events and all, that when they pray, how do they close their prayer? The Bible tells us that if we ask anything of God, from God in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, that's the... You used to hear that at the closing of most all prayers that were offered. Now then, they won't even let a minister use the word Jesus. If he does, he don't get to pray. Now, what do you think? How do you think that would register with God? People's hearts are, as Isaiah teaches us in the book of Isaiah, and I'll get over here and read it. He said, wherefore? And by the way, this is 29th chapter of Isaiah and the 13th verse. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near to me with their mouth and with their lips, do honor me, but have removed their heart. The Bible teaches us from the abundance of the heart, the mouth so speaketh. So that pretty much clarifies what is going on, doesn't it? They honor me with their lips, but they have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precept of men, if it's taught at all. It's man's way, not God's way. But we know that that's not exactly the way that God intended for it to be or has said that it must be. But that's the way the trend that people are going in. They don't seek God no more. They don't pray no more. How many, I won't do that. I started asking how many of y'all's had a little cell phone conversation this morning. Hey, I don't have one. I have a cell phone, but it's one of them little bitty things. It'll ring, I'll answer it. And when I make a telephone call, I punch in a number and I get who I call for. Other than that, that thing don't mean a thing in the world to me. But just stop and think. If we as Christians would devote one tenth of the time to God in our life each day that we do on a telephone, it'd be easier to live a Christian life. Yeah. Which do you think is the easiest? To be saved or to live a sanctified Christian life? Huh? A lot of people have declared or come to the altar and prayed and have testified that they're saved. And most of the nominal churches, you ask them if they're Christian. Oh, yeah, Christian. I was saved so and so and so and so. But what kind of life do they live? Huh? Does their life exemplify or typify the life of a Christian? Or do they live just like the world lives and they lived all their life? Did their lifestyle change? Did their vocabulary change? Did their desires change? If it didn't, something's wrong. Either the Bible's wrong or they're wrong. And I don't think the Bible is wrong. Do you? The Bible tells us in no uncertain terms. And this is back in Isaiah. People say, oh, I've read that in the New Testament. But what did Isaiah tell us here in the 55th chapter of it? And beginning with the 6th verse. Now, this is Isaiah the prophet. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him. Yeah. You know, and I guess I'm as guilty as most people. How many of you remember when, well, let's say 50 years ago, and I've been in the church quite a bit longer than that. Fact of the matter, I was looking at a book this last week, and I opened it up, and it said a gift from Reverend Bill Harper to Bobby Sparks, 1953. So I've been in it for a while. But what intrigued me more about the Church of God than anything, and I was raised up in a primitive Baptist church, too, by the way. They shouted. They washed feet. You remember, they used to have the foot washing. They had July the 4th, they had an association. It was a whole week of preaching and washing feet, of church. Yeah. And when they went to church of a morning, they got home in time to milk the cows, and that's about it. Because there'd be 3 and 4 and 5 preachers that would preach during the day. And they didn't preach no 15 or 20 minute sermon, honey. And not only that, but another thing. When I got into the Church of God, first time I ever went into it, I'll admit it, I didn't know what was going to happen. I wondered if I was going to get out alive, really. People shouting and throwing their hands and praising God and, running up and down the aisle. And when it come time to pray, I was used to a nominal church. They call on brother so-and-so to pray. He stood up and prayed. Everybody else sat there real quiet. Boy, that didn't happen then. When they said, let's pray, everybody hit the floor on their feet. And everybody began to raise their hand and pray out loud. And called on God. Yeah. What do we do now? Call on God. What does the word call mean? If your dog got lost and you was looking for him, and would you go outdoors and say, "Hey, Fido, Fido, hey, Fido, come on, Fido, where you at?" Yo, no, 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 no. You'd be hollering, "Hey, Fido, where you at? Hey, Fido, get yourself here. Hey, Fido, come home." What's happened to us? Huh? You know, the word whisper, as far as I can tell, is only listed twice in the Bible, and it's not a good term used in. But the Bible tells us to call upon God verbally. Yeah. Open your mouth. But he said, "Let the wicked forsake his ways." Now, by the way, what we're studying about here is the practice, is a spiritual rather mannerism of life, the new life, new lifestyle. And so in order to live a new lifestyle, we have to know what the Bible tells us to do and what we have learned from experiences with God. Bad experiences will stick with you a lot longer than good experiences. You know that? You learn from bad experiences. That's what, when I was growing up, man, and something happened, and my dad said, "How'd you do that?" I'd tell me, say, "Oh, well, you'll know better next time, won't you? You learn from experience." And experience, my wife's dad, he always said, "Well, experience costs you more, but it's the best teacher, because you don't forget too easy." I think we forgot our experience with God. I wonder sometimes what would actually happen if we had one service where that the Spirit of God came down and slayed people like it did back in the 50s and 60s. Slayed them? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you something, friend. When the Spirit of the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, just like God wants to get a hold of you, you ain't going to know you in this world. You ain't going to know what you're doing. You ain't going to know. Well, all you can do is believe what people tell you to happen. I've been there. I've done that. And it's still good today. Well, glory! He still lives today. But you know what? There's something that God has required us to do, and we quit doing it. He said in Matthew's Gospel, 6th chapter, he said, "When you pray, pray in this manner. When you pray, enter into your closet and shut the door and pray." You know why God said do that? There's some things that you don't have no business knowing. You don't need to know. I don't need to know what all your problems are, and don't want to know. If you ask for me to pray for you, I'll pray for you. But I ain't going to have your life history. And God doesn't expect us to reveal our life history, because he's the one that we're going to talk to, and he's the one that we're going to depend on to perform the work that's got to be done, or the whatever that needs to occur. And all he needs is your support. Yeah. You believe with him. Yeah. You pray for him. And let God do the work. But he said, "Let the wicked forsake his ways." Now this is what was happening before these Gentiles were converted into Christianity. Because the church of Ephesus here was made up of saved Gentiles. Not Jews. The Jews, very few of them ever saved. And all they done was give the Gentiles a hard time, because they would not conform to the Jewish teaching, you know, of circumcision and this and that and the other. And especially the law of Moses. That's what they live by. But Jesus said, "I didn't come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill the law." That's it. When Jesus did what he did as far as the law was concerned, he put on the bottom of it, the end. We have the Ten Commandments. Yeah. But they are that's different from the law of Moses. Moses' laws was dictated by God through men, and men put the emphasis on the law. But whenever we abide in God's favor and let God do the